Okay, I'll call this meeting of the zoning and annexation committee to order. We have Mary Westfall, Brian McKeon, Lindsay Stowe, Mark Frye, and I forgot your name. Marcus Sanson with us. We have former council member Katie Capelini in the room with us, and Phil Stanford. And live via Zoom, we have Michelle Johnson. So we might as well, Michelle, we'll start with you. We want to talk a little bit about your proposal to do a zoning code audit and facilitation. And I will just preface this. I don't know where you are, so I don't know how to look at you. So I see you on the screen, but I don't know where the camera is. In the back there?
No, I see you in the back.
Okay. All right, well.
No, it's okay. I'm trying to, I can hear someone from somewhere a little farther away.
All right, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hope when you announce a little bit, like, I think you're okay. I think it's going to be a little bit better.
I'll try and stay closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Oh, this one.
Yeah, I think if the tone you're at now is good, you were kind of softer when you opened the meeting. So just be talking.
Okay. Well,
louder, you'll be fine.
We'll do as best we can. Michelle, I'll just tell you conceptually, I've had. My reservation is that historically we've developed zoning changes as development has been proposed, and so when a developer comes forward and has an idea that wants to do something that's inconsistent with our zoning, at that point, we redo the zoning. The most recent example of that is when we did SOMO, we adapted our zoning code to accommodate the development that was coming forward. And so I'm having a little trouble understanding how we change our zoning going forward without knowing what sort of development people are going to want to do in downtown Sylvania. So that's kind of where, that's where my reservation comes from, and maybe you could just address, you know, start by addressing that and what you think, what your vision is here.
First of all, the personal services kind of has worked in peace time. So this first tab doesn't include the actual zoning, right? So the whole point of the audit is to go in and really look at what components are either helping or hurting your downtown development. I would say the biggest or simplest response, I guess, to your presentation is that it's a proactive versus reactive approach.
Right.
Typically, we see more success as a proactive approach. I'm not sure that we need to, especially for the neighborhood overlay district, I'm not sure that we need to get sort of specific where we're recruiting any one. As it relates to a site, maybe one of the recommendations of the audit is that, this does become a special district. And that we're giving guidance to really make some site plans and open-ended as early to the site approval, because we probably want to cut that up internally. One of the big overlay features I know that's very popular in the city plans are the design standards, making sure one of the big things that we've heard from your master plan update in that, you know, not only from people in the room right now and things, but also the public, is that materials in particular were important, you know, there is, people were okay with the universal identity, but they weren't the look that belonged to Pennsylvania. Part of its character, part of it has to do with the, higher end furnishing and things like that, which the income and dollar level of Pennsylvania do justify. We went to some communities that were taking first right there, and they want to try to get materials that market them support. And in Pennsylvania, the market does support that higher end price point, which is great, but that's one of the proactive things of making sure that we are working towards that. It's not restricting necessarily, it's really setting a framework and making sure that the developers, whoever they might use in the future, are working with that. And it can be as, you know, design standards you just want them. It can be as simple as you want or guiding principles. But we can have things that are mentioning, you know, down the road that talk about visiting site plans based on approval either with committee or any commission, provide review on X members or they are considering like that. But my biggest response to that is just proactive and reactive. What we don't want is someone coming in doing something that the fleet does not support, and because we have old buildings, there's nothing we can do to stop that from happening.
So for, so what you're suggesting is somebody could come in and under our existing zoning, develop something that would comply with our existing zoning, but which we wouldn't like anyway, right?
Yep. And especially with your current framework, your existing zoning, it's, you know, you took a quick look at it. And understand what there needs to be there, what needs to modify all that. Is that it is meant for, I would say, in general, a very standard statement, a less dense, less vertical downtown, and a little bit more lower scale than I think the master plan that was adopted really wants. And so it really is kind of pushing a person by person development versus having a tone of looking a little bit larger in scale and especially higher in verticality.
Okay. I believe the entire area of the focused of the master plan is covered by the current downtown business overlay, I believe. My map is, it's hard for me to read the map, honestly.
The other thing, just like parking, for example, you know, a minimum versus maximum. Parking maximum is obviously something that, much more progressive, but that's definitely the main interest, right? And when you have a more walkable downtown, our parking standards are different, just because a lot of people who use their cars don't even use their cars. So just making sure the things like that that we're really setting up, I guess, downtown for people to do versus what maybe is the direction that it has been going pre-pandemic and kind of free. We're so more adding on value and positive value to downtown. And if we need to start at home, does it promote that vibrancy?
Okay. So the so just going over your scope of services. So the first step would be the zoning audit of the existing downtown zoning code. And what would we what would be the end of that first step?
Is it
the end result of the audit? Is there some sort of report to council, or is there a meeting with council? What happens at the, once you do the audit?
When you ask it, there's a little bit, and what has been successful at the time we asked is that we encourage your guidance and direction. You know, we don't have to audit the entire thing. There's certain things we want to focus on, or we want to just kind of like focus on the things that we know are the most glaring to the need, parking, setbacks, density, design standards, et cetera. We really like any component in the word format, if we can, or at least PDF, if we can convert. And I know it sounds really old school, but we've been doing comments and tax changes, and it's, you know, it's not fancy, it's straightforward. And basically going through, we're trying to make comments, make suggestions, talking about best practices. And sometimes it's frustrating as well. Is this the intent that we want here? The developer, this might be for this type of, or this type of material, or restrict us from being able to have first floor retail, or too much of something, not enough enough. But we are very open in what that label is. You know, this is the time material, this is the RFP, so this is next to us. We always do next to, you know, maybe we get a hot topic and something that we want to have a full meeting about, we get a better handle on it. Totally fine with that. So, the deliverable that we've done in the past for other clients that has worked out the best is a word, a simple word document, which is common, you know, edit text and then meetings. However, you know, in person, remote, whatever that looks like, for your discretion.
Okay. So this would be sort of an, so we would kind of, I guess this would force us all to look at the zoning code a lot more closely, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there, and I'm sensing some benefit into that right now that maybe I discounted before. So you also have this list of topics in Proposal B and the best practices and current trends. Would it be the kind of thing where we could develop standards for these things without actually designating where they would apply?
Yeah, I mean, I think things like, you know,
and I guess I'll jump with the tiny homes thing. You know, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever going to build any tiny homes or tiny home PUDs in Sylvania, but if we, I guess, are you envisioning that we might want to have guidelines in place for those in case somebody wanted to come in? Is that what you're thinking?
We are seeing our very high-end communities, including communities like Sylvania. We are seeing a big push for tiny home TV or the cottage homes, which are listed as number two. Cottage homes are typically more on the retiree side age, whereas we're seeing the tiny home communities be a little bit younger in population. I'm all about any sort of community development. I think it's fabulous. Personally, so think that we would want to allow those type of developments in the core of your town.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't think we would.
We'll have the conversations, you know, what's under contract or making sure that that's not just my opinion, but I think it's because we have so much, again, human vibrancy. You know, it basically is a very nice subdivision with a different home technology, which is fine. They're very high end, so it's not something that we want to encourage. I just don't think that a vibrant downtown is where we necessarily want a trendy subdivision.
Okay.
And that could be something that, you know, if there are smaller tracts of land, or if there's a point where, you know, cities fairly built out, I mean, someone sweeps up some older houses and knocks them down and wants to do something in a different area of town that maybe you hadn't thought of before. Saying, hey, okay, downtown isn't where this belongs, but, you know, in other districts, zones, X, this is allowable format, new technology, whatever that might be. And maybe that's just a blanket statement at the beginning of your residential code or something like that. So it's not necessarily downtown, but the fund we're saying that doesn't belong downtown, we wanted at least not limit it to other areas of the city.
Okay. I don't mean to dominate, I do that a lot.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I actually was leaning into this conversation that Doug started with, which is usually that the development people come forth and kind of tell us what they're thinking, but as I listen to you, I actually am thinking, Michelle, about a conversation I just had last night with a family member who's getting ready to purchase a home, I think it's Muirfield in Columbus or something, and he was sharing with me that they've got all these standards, like they've got lots of flexibility, but there's all these standards, and how they were uncomfortable with that at first, so before they put the bid in on the house, they knocked on a few neighbors' doors and talked to them about the standards and how restrictive they felt. And the neighbors were like young and old, some had been there for 20 years and some were new, and they said they love the standards, as it turns out, because it does keep the quality of the area, which I don't know anything about the area, intact, and they feel like it's really a good thing. So that made me think, as I listened to you about the framework and the guide for the design standards, that there is something about being able to ensure right out of the gate that there's a certain level of quality that is expected and required and enforceable. And where they're going, they said that they enforce the guidelines. Like if you put in something like, I don't know what, because I didn't ask any questions, but, you know, like something in the back that you're not allowed to have, they make you take it down. So.
And I think it depends on how comprehensive design standard that I've done. I'm curious to see, it's going to start to work the way, but I'm not sure how much is also they were getting, but like, they literally limited the type of column. They have very specific blend of two architectural styles, and we got into like, neat color palettes that were acceptable, and I did not, I mean, people appreciate this, but they actually restricted what type of columns that were able to go in from the style of even what color shutter, black or white, that's it. Which is fine, not sure that we can get that specific, but you can, and you can have it as a framework plan, like you said, Mary, or you can get down to even a few text columns that you're allowed to have. So we get images and things like that. We don't expect most, especially smaller communities. We don't always have developers that know architectural style and what about, which is why we think that far in the industry. And, you know, you can't just lift an aesthetic paint palette. We actually made, like, you know, RGB combinations of what things will look good. I'm not saying you can take it that far. However, especially from a material standpoint, percentage of protected materials, especially if you want to limit certain materials or materials in front, localization size, et cetera, I do think you can, you know, set a framework and guidance without actually saying you can only use these protected columns.
So the other thing I wonder if you would be willing to do, and I'm sorry, but I'm only looking at all this on my tiny little phone, which means I can hardly read it, even though I can enlarge it, then you can only see a sentence. Can you talk to me a little bit about the cost? For some reason, that $24,000 sounded like a lot to me, but maybe walk me through that a little bit.
That was totally just a good number, and it was... Because of the kind of materials, we didn't want it to be as much, it was just getting too crack or something.
Okay.
We revised a couple times. We originally actually had some of those code writing as a different task, but the higher design teams, I think just in general, maybe as a group weren't as comfortable taking it that far in the early stages. You know, maybe after 5 to 10,000, we hit a couple things and it's like, hey, we picked a hot topic that we really want to move forward with. Let's stop here and move on to writing actual quotes. That is totally fine. And we're for some communities where they want to check every single section and make sure that we're being really, really detailed in everything, versus peanut buttering. So that is totally a design number. But that doesn't mean that we have to start going for that.
Okay. Okay.
And we could kind of dictate that as we went forward.
I'm sorry.
But my point is, we could probably dictate the scope of work going forward interactively.
This is basically a postcard email kind of task-oriented discussion. So, you know, with Bill kind of being from the city side, as a contact person, us having conversations of, sometimes we do it via topic, sometimes it could be like, okay, you know, we want to authorize $5,000 for this effort, so please make sure that we're maybe not doing as much detail per item and that we're able to touch all the sections that affect downtown, but, you know, we can get after $5,000 of savings.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, please, you know, go as detailed as you feel like you need to for these four different topics, areas, maybe they don't even exist in the zoning code yet, and you want us to make recommendations on things that we're seeing that could be helpful, useful, et cetera. And as long as we don't go past the budget, you know, just open it. So it really is flexible, but it's also set up where if you want a certain amount of money for certain areas, we're flexible with that.
Doug, I have a quick question for you. I also am obviously not terribly prepared today. I did not look at the downtown zoning code before I walked into this meeting. How involved is that code? Is that a very extensive code at this point, or is that something that's just a few pages? Just curious if you've got a gut instinct on that.
Well, the entire downtown area has this downtown architectural review process, which means that you can't do anything without getting it approved by going to our planning commission.
Mm-hmm.
Putting forth a proposal and getting an approval from them. And that can be more detailed or not. And when we, okay, this is ancient history, but, you know, I was on planning commission when we did the hotel. And, you know, we had the Wingate, and we had, I think we had four or five different meetings with the designers before we came up with a design that we were willing to approve, and Kevin Kenney never was willing to approve, so he didn't think it compared to his building next door. But that process is pretty... you know, has worked pretty well for us. And that's but it's very ad hoc. You know, it's driven by the
planning commission.
You know, the plan commission. They do have, over the years, I think they've developed a set of their own sense of what they, and Craig's not here. We don't have anybody from the plan commission here. But I think, you know, they've developed their own sense of criteria for what mm-hmm. what they will approve and won't approve.
I think the big thing is it sounds like that project the developer is going to work with you because they realize they have a good project they want to stick with it. If those things aren't in writing in your code, there's nothing you can really do. They could have just said to account fault for doing what we want.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I kind of like the idea. As I've gone through this, as we've talked through this today, I kind of like the idea of having some more guidelines in terms of our downtown development going forward, particularly if we develop the sort of residential stuff that was in the, was in the economic development plan, No, we really don't have any limitations on that.
I think a big thing, you know, not that vinyl's bad. I would think that based on the character that we're wanting, that is one of the things that comes to mind, making sure that we're restricting where vinyl is placed and how much percentage of the building is placing vinyl if we're going to allow it.
Yeah. I mean, those are issues worth looking at. I think you're right.
And that's the part where, you know, if you have someone going to work with you, great, that's a lovely process. But, you know, we unfortunately get pulled in on the back end, we do, you know, get soon to the work of the draft. And if it's not in writing, and or it's not consistent with your plan, you know, court systems are very private property and developer lean in the past 20 years. So it's more of, you know, how much you sell, you want your code, versus how much flexibility is someone who's worth with that. What do you want in writing that is black and white versus what you want to be open-ended that planner debates, knowing that the planner can only go so far. You know, that's where the design standards really start coming into play.
Okay.
Doug, may I?
Yeah, please, Lindsay.
So I think this is a really great conversation to be having right now, because Sylvania is currently experiencing some re-energizing vibrancy. And I think we've been lucky so far that we haven't had someone come downtown and do something that perhaps was able to get passed by whoever was on the Board of Architectural Review at that time, but then maybe wasn't in the long-term best interest or maybe immediate best interest. So I think we've been lucky, but I think we might be facing more people soon that'll be bringing up these issues. So I really like the idea of taking a proactive approach and starting to have some of these conversations. And doing an audit, I think, is a really smart first step to do that. You all know this about me, but this is one of my sort of nerdy sides. I get really into these things. I'm even on my own doing a building code analysis workshop with Main Street America in a few weeks. So, like, I'm already diving deep into these things. But for just that kind of keeping on task where we are now and not me getting carried away with the things that I get excited about, with this audit, I was wondering how or if we could perhaps do this in a series of maybe some scenarios of different types of developers and how it would be like for them to go through this process, because I'm also doing a lot of studying right now of the history of downtown Sylvania architecturally, and a lot of the buildings that we know and love that are downtown right now are those about 2 to 3 story structures that have retail on the first floor and apartments above or offices above. And a big challenge is with our current financial regulation systems and building codes and zoning codes and the way they all interact is that those buildings have been really difficult to build for a long time. There's a reason why you mostly only see large development single-family homes going up or large apartment buildings. You aren't seeing a lot of that missing middle housing that you had talked about in the master plan or as a part of the process we were talking about earlier. And so I would be really curious, as we do an audit of the zoning code, because that's the thing we have more control over here, is what would it be like for, one, for maybe someone who wants to bring in a more national brand but at a smaller scale to help bring some more of the access to different materials, but also what would it be like for a smaller business person who wants to invest in their downtown and be able to contribute another business or restaurant that has already been proven to be successful with other business, maybe not the business itself is successful, but we've already shown that the most, I think, charming and attractive part of our downtown is that section in which we have a number of smaller businesses that are investing their time and money and maybe seeing it from that scenario as well. So I was wondering if you've done that or if that would be a possible thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's sort of comment coming with me that, you know, those are just kind of our one-off as we're reading through or if something just completely missing of the, hey, this is something to think about, because, you know, going back to the scripted text poems, if you're a grassroots kind of mom and pop who's kind of starting your American dream business post-pandemic, decide to put your job into your thing, we don't want to be limiting, kind of a more local approach. At the same time, we want to make sure that we aren't getting a free-for-all for a larger developer that wants everything final, you know, who knows what. So I think there's a balance there, and that's kind of where that track change comment document, where if we see something like that, it's kind of like, hey, here are some things to think about. This might be a challenge for a small scale, or this might be a challenge for a large scale developer. If we see things like that, we definitely would be kind of speaking up. Just, it's a very subjective opinion, but based on experience that we have seen, we actually do have multiple groups here that work with developers all the time. So we've seen what gets reported, you know, at the community level and court level, and understanding where pushback happens and things like that. Or maybe it's a smaller scale project, and that's what my, and they're struggling because they just cannot make their numbers and their pro forma work because they're just being so darn restrictive, you know, on the design standard, they can't make their numbers touch. And so it's like, we at least want to be cognizant of what we're setting up for, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Great, yeah.
Did that answer your question?
No, completely. Yeah, I'm glad that you guys have talked about these things. And while I'm a fan of let's set it up so that we aren't getting anything out of the blue that's against what sort of the direction as a community we've heard we want to go, but at the same time not restrict those who help, who would help continue the character and, I don't know, fun that we already have.
And sometimes it's stuff that doesn't end up in the code. Sometimes it's just a conversation that happens in the committee, right? Maybe there isn't a full report that is a one solid answer in the zoning code itself that will support grassroots mom and pop businesses as well as some larger retailers that maybe would be interested. It's more to make sure that you guys are all aware of what potentially could be a scoring issue. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just a discussion of like, hey, this could be a concern, but at the same time, we don't want to get too restrictive because that's getting a little over the top based on our experience, but we want you to know that this is something that's good for us. How is it working? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Doug, just along those lines, that's what I like about this idea. I think it gives us an opportunity to identify any gaps you may have, look at recommendations. I mean, it doesn't mean we necessarily have to act on anything. But I think it's a good opportunity for us to see what potential issues we might have.
Doug?
Yes, Mark.
The thought process that has been going on for many years at the Board of Architectural Review has done a great job in dealing with these issues up to this point. Mm-hmm. But I think allowing them to have some input from council, you know, with some maybe not real three column specific, you can do this column, this column, or this column, obviously, but some additional guidelines from the will of council to give them, because they've been basically working in a black box and doing a good job for a long time, but I think it may give them some extra cover, particularly in the case where, as Michelle mentioned, you get somebody who says, hey, this still meets the zoning code, you must approve it, and we're going to court, and that's not in anybody's best interest.
I would definitely encourage getting involvement of at least a couple people from ARB that would be zoning. Because the thing is, if the folks that are coming on the approval side are not liking the direction that things are going in, then you're just going to be giving A, everything that you're going to get, but then you're going to start doing a bunch of areas. And so once you set that precedent, the whole thing goes out the window. So if you can at least get some feedback and conclusion from people that are the ones that are going through those practicing, maybe not at this stage, but maybe it's when the learning code writing actually happens. But especially on the conversation side, you know, so maybe it's not the first stab at the audit, but maybe when there actually is a gathering of minds, really good time for them in making sure that we're not either not thinking of something that they're comfortable gaining their experience or just flat out not ignore. What we don't want is the variances coming out every single decision process. One sort of issue that becomes a precedent because only doesn't matter.
I do think that we certainly have invested a lot of time, money, energy, and community input in coming up with the master plan. And as I sit here and listen to this dialogue today, I feel like we might shortchange ourselves by not completing the last step, by getting your input and going through a more formal process about this next stage. Doug, I'm not sure what you need from us today, if we need any motion, if there's any decision that has happened.
Do we have any other questions for Michelle? You guys have anything you want to address? Okay, Michelle, I just want to make sure the date of the third revision is the last proposal we have, right, dated May 23rd? Okay. So I think what we'll do is we referred it here. I think it'll go back to council. We'll add it to, it'll be on the agenda, and we'll vote on it there. I don't think we need to make a recommendation today, although Michelle.
Do we have to vote to remove it, though?
To remove it? What do you mean?
Well, we referred it here, correct? So we're going to have to vote.
Yeah, I don't remember what, well, you know, how about this? I move that we add consideration of the environmental design group third revision dated May 23rd, 2022 to the council agenda for July 18th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That's what we'll do. Okay. Michelle, thank you for your time. This was very helpful.
Oh, thank you.
It was very, very helpful. We probably should have had this discussion earlier back in December. But we're here now, and we'll go forward. So, thank you. Yes.
She asked whether she needs to be at the council meeting on.
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think you need to be here.
All right.
I think we're going to get your contract.
Okay.
I'm not going to move that.
So,
we have.
I think that'll be good. Okay, we have one other agenda item. You are welcome to stay, but you are also welcome to go, Michelle.
Stay
with us. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch soon. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
All right, the other agenda item for today was consideration of recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission to approve the zoning change up on Alexis Avenue, ZA-1-2022. When this came before us, I was a little concerned about the elimination of a potential medical marijuana facility parcel. In the interim, I pretty much come to the conclusion that we're going to have a medical marijuana facility in Sylvania anyway. The world is changing on this pretty quick. Very likely we're going to have a recreational use ballot decision to make next November. And so I don't really see any reason to not go forward with this. And we can address future marijuana retail establishments in the future when we have a little better idea of what the landscape is. Yeah, Mary.
Is this the same owner of the building who's coming forth with this?
No, it's a different
building.
He is, I talked with Leslie about this, and and he's withdrawing his request to go forward.
I forgot.
You'll recall I also asked some questions about why we were going to B1 rather than B2. And the thinking there is that's consistent with the Dollar General zoning on the same side of the street. And the B1 permitted uses meet the applicant's intended use of the property. And so that's what he asked for. That's what's been approved by the Planning Commission. And I really don't have any objections to moving forward with that.
I think it makes sense to have retail businesses along that Main Street of Alexis be that as opposed to industrial or manufacturing. I know it eliminates the other option, but there is still that other building that could be a potential one if they wanted to have a storefront on the Main Street. But we have someone who's interested in opening a business right there, and it's going for a similar use as what's right next to it, and that seems to make sense to me.
I probably won't be frequenting that particular spot.
You have lots of grandchildren coming up this spot.
Yeah, it's a generational thing. Yeah, I get it. Okay. I will move to refer the zoning ordinance regarding ZA-1-2002 to the agenda for the July 18th meeting of council. And Mary, you seconded it?
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. I think we're done. I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you all.